This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In two ways, one of them is a married person committing zina, and the other is a unmarried person committing zina. So a married person committing zina is actually much, much more serious in Islam. And they're both serious and they're both made sins, but it is much more serious, and that is the punishment you have. Zina, fornication, if somebody's married, that the punishment for that would be 80 lashes. So it's a very serious topic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and don't come near to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Right? Don't come near to zina. And to start off, you know, this topic primarily, when it comes to zina, may Allah protect us, that it's something widespread in our culture, something that's normal. Even sometimes when you hear people say, we want the Muslims to integrate, sometimes they're talking about, we want them to fornicate. We want them to just basically drink alcohol, come to our clubs, and be with like one of us. That's what they're talking about when they say we want integration. May Allah protect us. So the society basically, when I was in high school, what you would call A-levels, correct? Yeah. When I was in high school, I know that the teacher would say that all the boys would need to partner up with one of the girls. I noticed this as a, you know, mashallah, I was still, you know, memorizing the Quran, but I went to public high school. And in school, the teacher did not separate the boys from the girls. What will happen when you take non-Muslim boys and girls and put them into a room? What will happen? The girls will go and sit on one side and the boys will go and sit on the other. That is their fitrah. And they're not even Muslim. That's their fitrah. That's their nature. The girls will go to one side. The boys will go to one side. And there will be one boy who's like, I'm just going to go sit in the middle of the girls section. And he'll go and sit right in the middle. And what will the girls do to him? Immediately they'll banish him. They're like, you're sick. Get out of this section. This is the ladies' section. And they're non-Muslim. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. So the culture and the schooling system, what they say is like, you know, where did they get this from? This Puritan, Christian, you know, whatever. And they'll say, we have to break this. So your boys and girls, and if you've been through the schooling system, you know that they do things in school to try to break down this barrier. So what they'll do is, when you have, you know, a chemistry lab, you have to partner up with a boy, partner up with a girl. That is intentionally. When we're in sports in gym class, they'll say every team, you know, in basketball or something like that, they'll say you have to pass to the girl on your team before you shoot. Otherwise, it doesn't count as a point. And they try to integrate so that the boys and girls are together and that these barriers are broken down. Now, when I was in high school, I remember, you know, young Muhammad al-Sharif trying to lower his gaze and all of that stuff. And we learned from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that one way to protect ourselves from this is to fast, is to sawm. So I remember one time walking down the hallways of my high school and I was saying to myself, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. Muhammad, you're fasting. You're fasting, Muhammad. And I actually had gum in my mouth. And I remembered the irony of it, right? So I say, I'm fasting, I have gum in my mouth, something doesn't work here, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect us, but in our societies, I want to go through a list of ways that the boundaries have been shut down. But before I go to the boundaries that have basically been broken down, let's look at the human creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah says, I'm placing in the earth a khalifa, a vicegerent or whatever. A khalifa basically means a creation that will procreate. It will continue. Khalifa means to come after. Now you guys know that there's a website like Second Life. Have you heard of that? There's like these websites where it's actually a world of people inside. They buy and sell real estate in an internet type of situation, right? Now, in these virtual worlds, there's so much money involved in it that they hire PhD economists, PhD this and that, in order to maintain the commodities that are inside these virtual worlds so that they don't collapse the whole thing. So how much gold is there? How much real estate? If it's a virtual world and they give too much real estate, the value goes down. So what I'm saying is that there is a lot of intelligence that goes into human beings and how they can sustain themselves. Now, from there, and take the verse, إِنِّي جَاعِنُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I reflect on the human, like a lot of times people come and ask me questions and I'll tell them, you know what the human nature is? This is how we're created. One of the things that we were created with is the desire to procreate, right? The desire to procreate. And it has to be that way. So if a woman isn't married and she feels sad, I'm telling her, you can't shut off that sadness. Because you're a human being. If the desire to have babies could be shut off, people would have shut off. If it could be shut off, people would shut it off. But you can't. You cannot shut it off. Just like you hear the angels, they're created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human beings are created to procreate. So the desire is fully intense. It's there amongst the men and in the women. It might be different desires. Maybe a man wants to basically have marital relations, and the woman wants to have children, and she wants marital relations, maybe not as much as the man, but she still wants to have children, right? And you'll see even people, they'll go and adopt later on if they can't have children. The desire is so intense, it cannot be shut off. Now, that being said, with such an intense desire, you know, taxi drivers, if you go to the airport, these cab drivers have to get in line, correct? They're in a big, long lineup. And what we have in Canada, and you might have it here, it's please do not accept rides from rogue cab drivers coming up to you and saying, do you need a ride? Do you guys have something like that? Yeah. Right? So they say, you know, you don't know who they are. Well, no, but basically what they're saying is that if this person jumps the line and tries to capture you as soon as you come out from, you know, Devil's Gate, and he's like, do you need a cab? I can, you know, and they work something out, it has destroyed the whole system. Okay? It's destroyed the whole system. Now, because what will happen is that all the cab drivers will have to get out of the line and we'll all have to, it'll ruin everything. They can no longer stand in line. Everybody will be like a fight for themselves. It's like a marketplace. Everybody's like, hey, look at me. I don't have hijab. Look at me. I'm more beautiful than my sister here. And they'll do that. So now let's look at the high heels woman. Why is she wearing high heels? She's wearing high heels because the short women are wearing high heels. And now they're the same height. There's no visual advantage to the tall woman because the short women are wearing high heels and they look like they're 6 feet tall now because their high heels are like this big. And so then the tall woman's like, I need to distinguish myself from my sister. So she wears high heels. So now the shorter one does what? Okay, now the man is like, which one should I, you know, I'm in a marketplace here, you know, meat dresses and all that stuff. Which one should I look at? And then so now the tall one is taller, she's got a visual advantage, man's looking at her, so then this one says like, hey, I got some skin over here. Oh, skin. And then he turns to that, and then the other woman says, no, I got skin too. And he looks at her. I got more skin. And then it just gets, you know where it goes from there. And then you have half-naked people walking around. And then you have fully naked people walking around. And then what do they do after that when everybody's walking around naked and there's no more visual advantage to one over the other? It spirals down until they're just beasts. You know, like you're talking the African safari, right? You don't have gazelles wearing clothes. That's what happens in society. Each one is competing to show more skin and to visually stimulate and get the attention of, I'd say, primarily the men. I don't know if they're doing that for the women. Okay, so now you understand with this spiraling downwards of the society, you can see each magazine is trying to outdo the other magazine by being more lewd and showing more skin. And I know like the newspapers you have here, they're just full straight out, right? It's complete nakedness. They're like, here's the news, and we'll show you a naked woman just so you buy this newspaper. And how do you feel about that? And they sell the newspapers. They do that, okay? So now you're looking at the newspapers. You go to buy something, the newspapers, boom, they're all trying to capture your attention from there. You look at the billboards. Now, actually, your billboards are not as bad as some other places that I've been to. In Toronto, they had a billboard. I remember taking my daughter, my wife and my daughter, and immediately we're like, cover your eyes, the billboard. I think the poster was at least 10 floors, right? 10 floors, and she's not wearing a shirt. But now, with that type of attention, now all the other jean companies come in, and everybody's got to come in, and all the travel agencies got to come in, and they've got to compete with that. And so Toronto especially has just spiraled downwards, where every billboard right now has gone in this direction. Now, alhamdulillah, I saw your billboards here in London, and the people are wearing clothes in the billboard. Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. Alhamdulillah. But it's not too far before somebody pushes the envelope a little bit, and somebody has to compete and pushes the envelope, and it spirals downwards. Let's look at the accessibility of pornography. I went to older sister. She works in social services, and I said, is the situation of divorce more problematic in our community, or is the situation of people not being able to get married? Which one is more problematic? Because it's my assumption that the problem of people trying to get married is actually a bigger problem than the divorce. Every time speakers come along on the microphones, they're like, oh, the divorce issue. Actually, I think, you know what, that's something small in comparison to our boys and girls can't get married. I think that, but that issue of the boys and girls getting married is not championed. And people don't speak about it, but I would assume it is a much bigger problem than the divorce issue. People get married, they have problems, yeah, you know, I mean, that's life. But what about people getting married, getting older, not finding enough the right mate for themselves? And so they'll turn to non-Muslims, where the non-Muslims, so a Muslim boy can't find a Muslim girl. There's a whole bunch of girls at school that'll be like, they don't have those restrictions. So they come out, the skin being shown, the person either falls into zina or they fall into, or they marry like a non-Muslim. And then you have amongst the sisters, sisters wanted to, you can't imagine, a sister is getting older, she has this desire. Can you imagine she's going to go through her whole life never having marital relations? Her entire life? She's never going to have children, never going to have a man in her life, never, all of this stuff. And that's a problem. What does she do? What's the situation there? And you, again, it's like, it's not championed. People don't bring up those situations. Everybody just kind of like, just suffers quietly. So the pornography in the olden days was, you know, you had to go to some dodgy store to, you know, you had to be a straight out pervert, right? Like complete with the trench coat, everything, in order to get a dirty magazine. Now, times have changed. Signs of the Day of Judgment is intisharo zina, that zina will become widespread. If you look at, for example, a Muslim country, a nice, clean Muslim country, then, mashallah, the internet came to town. Right? And if you look at, for example, a city, you know, in some Muslim country, I don't want to name any specific countries, but they're conservative. The worst, most horrible thing was them watching WWF wrestling or WWE wrestling. The men are wearing underwear. Did you guys notice that? Right? You just thought they're like, you forgot that this is a man whose awrah is showing. And, you know, here are little Muslim girls in a conservative Muslim family in a conservative Muslim country who've never seen stuff like this, watching men in underwear, jumping around and stuff like that. And like, haha, it's funny, and so on. Now, those countries, that was just the tip of the iceberg. Because when the internet came in, boom. Now you got the pornography issue in every household. I won't accuse all the men right there, but you know how it is. The pornography issue. So when I asked this auntie about, you know, which issue is bigger, the divorce or the marriage, there's an issue that is the biggest, more than marriage or divorce, and that's the issue of pornography addiction. Pornography addiction it's everywhere. Because now it's accessible to anyone, everything. Already the billboards. Now the billboards have to compete with the internet's pornography. In fact, the widespread of the internet is coming because of the pornography. pornography chooses the medium, and you know, you see these other websites, oh, you got like 500 hits, you got 1,000 hits on your website. Pornography website comes in, boom, 20 million in 1 month, right? And growing. And all these people competing in the pornography. May Allah protect us. You've got also the music. And the music is widespread. And then the language and what the songs are talking about. In, if you notice the top 40 songs, they're all related to love. They're all related to love. Breakups or, you know, this and that. If in order to get in mainstream in the music, you don't have like... social service type of messages coming out in the music in the top 40. Top 40 songs that everybody's listening to, all love story based, right? And it's not, I want to get married and this and that. It's all zina. Okay, so now, said, rewind back to what I said about the desire of the male and female. And now, these are, you know, the additives to the situation. Before we go to some solutions, let's look at the husband and wife, like people are married. We've got a problem with the marriages in that marital relations don't happen often enough. They don't happen often enough. And I would assume that this is something that Shaitan is very happy with. Like a man are live together, they're just basically like roommates. You sleep in your room, I sleep in my room. You know, we get into the occasional fight and everything, and you know what, life just goes on. How long has it been since, you know, two have slept together? I don't know, how many years has it been now? And life goes on like that. We recently did a very graphic workshop with Sheikh Yasser Qadhi, and it was called Like a Garment. Like a Garment, that was halal intimacy, okay? And halal intimacy is a nice word for you know what. Now, a sister, she emailed us. She was very happy. And she made a donation because of what they had learned in the thing. And alhamdulillah, both the husband and wife had took this. And alhamdulillah, marital relations took place. Now, that is one of the happiest testimonials I could ever hear. Is that here a husband and wife were able to come together and have marital relations. Because that goes against the plan of Shaitan. Shaitan's plan is to divide the husband and wife, to make them not sleep with each other, to not have marital relations, to not have children, to not raise them, let the family unit break. One of the things, actually, one of the capital assets of a woman is her beauty. Capital asset is her beauty. And with that beauty, here is a man, for example, let's suppose he has a lot of money, he has a good job, he has this desire to have marital relations, and her beauty and his attraction to the beauty, this is her asset. Now, Islam protected the woman in that this man is not going to have this woman unless he makes a commitment to take care of her in a marriage contract. And so even when she grows older and she may lose some of that beauty, she's still in a protected situation. As the years go by, she's still protected by the Islamic system. Now, what would a man do if he's able to get marital relations without making the commitment? He would never commit. So a woman says, you know what, I'm really desperate. Hey, I'll have this marital relations with you, but we're not married. Let's do it in zina. When a woman does that, she has no value. She's dead. She's finished. The value's gone. Because now the man's like, well, why would I take care of you when I already got what I needed? So maybe in the moment she thinks, oh, but you love me, right? Yeah, right. So Sheikh Saeed says something interesting. He goes that men, they're all slick. When you see a man and woman, they're at a restaurant, and the man is sitting beside the woman, and he's kind of like leaning into her, and they're like, it's a booth, right? There's two sides to the table, and the man is sitting beside the woman, he's leaning into her. You know they're not married. Because he's being so loving to her. Okay? Unfortunately. Now, when they're sitting on opposite sides, and they have kind of like a little frown, then you know they're married. All right? I wish that it could be that, you know, the married couples are the ones leaning into each other and, you know, they're in love and all that stuff. And I wish we can cultivate that more. And it makes me happy when I see husband and wife that are just so much in love with each other. Alhamdulillah, I would love to see more of that. Muslim men and women, they're all, you know, married and in love with each other. And we have like this love in the air and all that stuff. Alhamdulillah. It's a dream one day, inshallah ta'ala. But so this guy who's not married, the boyfriend-girlfriend situation, why is he being so loving? Is it rocket science? Okay, so he's like, I love you. He's putting his arm around her. He's like leaning into her and all of that stuff. And her value only goes up to the marital relations, and then it's over. Her value is done. And with that, you see the women, their value in the society just going down and down and down. And I would assume, now I'm putting myself into the non-Muslim, you know, the developers and the strategists and the think tanks and whatnot. I'm sure they're saying to themselves, we're screwed. We got a big problem on our hands. Because our boys and girls have cut the marriage system out, and now they're just getting these marital relations like this. Our women are not going to have value in the future. Once they get a little ugly or something like that, boom, it's like, why would I take care of you? Right? When I can have, you know, all these marital relations can happen. They're not going to have children. And their society's not going to continue. But bring a Muslim society right beside another society like that, and here the Muslim family has a marital relation, has the marriage system where the women are valued even into their old age, and there's this love and desire to have children and raise them and take care of them. Now you have a thriving community versus a community that's crumbling from the inside out. Right? Unfortunately, life isn't so idealistic, and our Muslim boys and girls are falling into that same trap. Maybe it's not in this situation here, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully it's not here, but go out into the street, into the reality of our Muslim community, and zina is a big problem. And pornography addiction, you know, and all this stuff, it's so intense. SubhanAllah, you know, you might ask me why doesn't Muhammad Ash-Sharif do more lectures? I honestly think that some of these lectures is just a big farce. It's just a big fake thing. Why would I say that? I was once giving a lecture, this is in Toronto, and a brother, he came up to me before the lecture. I was going to be talking about marriage or something like that, and he told me the reality of the situation of what takes place. Now, he said things that are so horrific and so, like, jaw-dropping, scary of what happens in our community, that I came to the conclusion right at that point that the lecture that I was about to give is just a joke compared to the reality of what the situation happens, of what's happening in our society.
So take one day at a time.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and don't come near to zina. Don't come near to it. So there are steps that lead to it. The magazine, the internet, you know, talking a little bit too much to the opposite gender, and so on and so forth. Those things lead into zina. And so a person cuts off. I like to always, you know, test my social skills. So sometimes there's a woman there and I'm like, should I test my social skills on her? And I'm like, no, I don't need to be testing this.
Never let go of me.